Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Integra Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ITR and on the NYSE under the symbol ITRG. Shad and I are chatting with the President and CEO, George Salamis. And George, we are following up on a news release that came out on October 6th. The title here says Integra increases scope of pre-feasibility study aiming at larger production profile and increase silver production at Delamar. Now, again, just to remind everybody, the Delamar Gold and Silver Project is in Idaho. Company came out with a PEA in the second half of 2019. And now the move through this pre-feasibility study, I understand the company was working on a series of trade-off studies to optimize both the heap leach and mill processing circuits. This is all coming forward to grow the production within this pre-feasibility study. Take us through now the direction that the company is taking for this pre-feas to show just how much the company could produce in terms of this increased production profile.
Yeah, for sure, Corey. Thanks and good morning to you both. So that press release that we put out a couple weeks ago was simply meant to guide our shareholders towards really considering a much different project, a much larger project relative to the one that we were proposing in the PEA study of 2019. The PEA study of 2019 was looking at somewhere in the order of about 125,000 ounces of gold equivalent per annum over a 10-year period. What we're guiding our shareholders now on is something that looks like, you know, potentially maybe even close to a double of that. So, you know, to the average shareholder, hey, get used to the fact that this project can produce a lot more gold and silver than we thought originally. And the scale of the project is going to be different. The production output from a gold and silver perspective is going to be much larger, much different. And that's born from really a number of factors, or Corey, AKA the trade-off studies that we've been doing over the last year, which is, you know, how can we produce more gold and silver? So simply put, there's a couple of ways, increase the capacity of the heap leach. So we were looking at 27,000 tons per day in the PEA study. We're now looking at something in that might even touch 35,000 tons per day of heap leaching. And so that's, you know, almost call it a, you know, 20-30% upgrade in the heap leach capacity. So more production out of that at a lower cost. Obviously, heap leaching is cheap and works really well. We should work really well on the project. And then there's an aspect of sulfide mineralization from the PEA study, which we did not include in the PEA study, which will now be included in the PFS, and that's largely from the Delamar project itself. We now understand a lot more about the sulfide metallurgy at Delamar to the extent where we'll be including something that looks like maybe 500,000 ounces or more of additional sulfide to come into the mine plan and be processed in the same manner that we were considering in the PEA, something, you know, crush grind, flotation, regrind, and cyanidation. So really simple milling metallurgy, but at a capacity of no longer 2,000 tons per day, but perhaps maybe up to 10,000 tons per day. So five times a larger mill scenario to recover more gold and silver. So all of these things together really add to this much larger production profile. And that's what we are trying to walk our shareholders towards an expectation in mid to late November.
Well, George, it's interesting to see the increases in both the heap leach potential growth and also the milling capacity on the sulfide. So let's dive into that a little bit deeper. If you can increase the production profile, obviously that's going to help the economics of the project. But we had just talked offline briefly that it could change the dynamics of the companies that see this project as a good option for them to have on the menu as far as an acquisition, because if you can increase your production profile and increase the economics, that would bring in a different type of a suitor. So walk us through what the plan is there as far as how it'll help the economics and how it could attract maybe a different set of eyeballs.
Yeah, and that's a very germane point. So 125,000 ounces, which was what the PEA was pointing at of gold equivalent production per annum, you know, we felt that is kind of brings us into the lens of the perhaps the junior gold producer, maybe a mid-tier gold producer at that level. But my experience in past M&A transactions that I've been part of in other companies is, you know, when you pass that 200,000 ounces per annum mark, now you're squarely in the sights of the mid-tier gold producer, and maybe even the major gold producer at that stage. You know, I've seen that before in the context of Argonaut, for example. Was part of that one. Integra Gold, obviously, with Eldorado and their successful takeover of the predecessor company to Integra. It was the same thing when we went from 110,000 ounces per annum to something that looked like guidance of 180 to 200, which is really what Eldorado are doing right now. It changes the flavor of the asset, and you know, it just broadens the range of potential suitors, to your point earlier.
Well, George, just another point that jumps out at me is that you're going to be increasing the silver component of it. So you've got a really healthy gold component. Talk to us about how the silver component will be increasing on this PFS.
Yeah, so another really germane point, and this is something that's really sort of hit home for us in the last couple of years since the PEA. So the PEA used, we used 1650 silver per ounce as a basis of calculation for cash flows. And, you know, the silver price has gone up, you know, 50% easily since then. And so we'll be using somewhere, take your pick, $20, $21 an ounce silver in this upcoming study. You know, there's the potential to generate a lot more revenue from silver this time around. So one of the trade-off studies that we were looking at is how can we recover more silver relative to the PEA? The easiest way to do that is in the mill. The mill recovers a lot more silver than the heap leach does. So by increasing the milling capacity, the milling throughput, you're actually recovering a lot more silver than you ordinarily would. And that's a big component of this project. You know, in the last study, the PEA, I think silver was 17-18% of the revenue generation of the project. You know, it's going to pass the 25%. My guess is it's going to pass the 25% mark in this upcoming study, maybe even touch close to 30%. So that's a good thing for shareholders ultimately.
George, can you just also break down how much extra production is coming by incorporating this unoxidized material or the sulfide material? Because there is that balance here of the oxidized and the sulfide material. And these trade-off studies, I assume, have shown you that incorporating this unoxidized does greatly increase the production profile. But what kind of headaches does that bring up as well?
Not so much headaches from a mining perspective. I mean, the sulfide resources at both of these deposits are really robust. You know, in the context of Delamar, you know, you're looking at sulfide zones that are 100 to 150 meters thick. So, you know, football field thicknesses of mineralization. So, you know, easy to mine at a low strip. No problem there. The complexity is just in the treatment. You can't heap leach these sulfides. You have to crush them. You have to grind them. You have to float a concentrate on them, and then you have to regrind that concentrate, and then, you know, basically leach that concentrate. But the trade-off is in the recoveries there, not so much on the gold end, because our gold recoveries on the heap leach are, you know, 80 to 90%, and that's probably what they will be in the upcoming PFS. But silver metallurgy in heap leaches is tougher. You don't recover a lot of silver in the heap leach. You know, if you can get to 40%, you're actually doing pretty well in the context of the heap leach. In the context of milling, however, that silver recovery aspect goes from 40% to something that looks like 80, 85%. So you're recovering at least twice as much silver through the mill as you would ordinarily in heap leach. And that's the game-changing aspect of what we're looking at part of the game-changing aspect that we're looking at in the upcoming PFS.
George, let's talk about the estimated increases then in CapEx here, because obviously when you are growing the production profile that much, you are going to face increased CapEx costs here. Plus, we also know that costs broadly have been going higher. What are some of the estimates or what insights can you share to investors when it comes to definitely the increase in CapEx we're going to be seeing?
Well, you know, if we're talking about doubling production from 125,000 ounces to somewhere at the 200, perhaps even more per annum mark, you know, one should expect a CapEx increase. There's no question about that. So expect it from that. Expect it from the scale of the project, both the heap leach and the milling capacity. Milling capacity going up by a factor of, you know, 4 or 5. So expect a CapEx jump in that realm. Expect, as you said, an inflation creep into all of our numbers. The fact that, you know, all of our costing in the PA was done at a certain level of certainty. PFS is obviously a much more rigorous, detailed sort of cost analysis in CapEx and OpEx. So expect some creep in that process as well. But, you know, I can tell you that we wouldn't be going down this road of doubling the production profile if it wasn't really, really economic to do so. And we're not just trading dollars on ounces here in increasing these this production profile in the upcoming PFS. There is a reason for it, and it will be really economic. Is it going to be, you know, is there going to be more upfront capital? For sure there will be in this project. I can't give you a range because we're in that costing phase right now, but most certainly there will be. Will there be more sustaining CapEx? Yes. Relative to the last iteration of study, for sure, but I can't tell you what those are because, again, we're in the costing aspects and we're down to the wire on that right now as we speak. So, you know, I guess you'll have to ask me the same question sort of 8 weeks from now when the PFS comes out.
Fair enough, George, and it'll be interesting to follow along, and we'll be all eyes will be on that PFS to see how the study comes in. But the big news is that, you know, you're going to be increasing your production profile, increasing the silver, increasing the mill throughput, increasing the heap leach throughput. It's an overall, you're biggie sizing the project, as we say. So very exciting to see. Another area for growth for the company, though, is exploration. You've got a number of different targets you've been drilling and are drilling, from the Black Sheep Trend, Florida Mountain, War Eagle. Any update you want to give us just on how that's progressing and how the exploration side of the business is moving along?
Yeah, well, I mean, on the exploration front, obviously pretty active throughout the summer. And, you know, the flip side to that is, you know, we're facing the same music as all the other explorer co's who are exploring with drill rigs. That is, the assay turnaround has gone from, you know, bad to abysmal. And so we're now just getting in results that, you know, from sections that we drilled in the months of maybe June or July. And that's how slow the turnaround is on assays now. So we do have some assays that are coming in now. We've got a lot more to come in. You know, our shareholders should expect, I'm going to say, maybe a release or two between now and the time that the pre-feasibility study hits in mid to late November. But they'll be from different areas of the project and maybe some areas that we haven't talked about thus far. Back to the Delamar deposit, for example. We've been talking about Black Sheep and Florida Mountain all year. We haven't talked about Delamar, but Delamar is showing some great promise as well. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of great news flow from the drill bit.
So, George, what do you want investors to focus on here with the company moving forward with this PFS and then also with all the drilling that's on tap? I realize that by building out the PFS and issuing some higher guidance when it comes to potential production does open up the M&A possibility. But as you just said, there's also exploration potential here. So what are you excited about? What do you think investors should be focused on?
Yeah, I guess philosophically, Corey, the one of the things that's really a hallmark of the Integra brand, if you will, one of the things I feel like we did quite well back in the day, and we continue to push the envelope on it, is to basically telegraph to our shareholders that every time we put out a study on something that looks good, consider that that's not the final story here. There's more to come. In fact, it's, you know, it's almost worth saying that, you know, every study that we put out, whether it was Integra Gold or Integra Resources, by the time that study comes out, it's almost stale dated because there's more to look at beyond the horizon. The next study will be bigger and better. The next study after that will be bigger and better. That was a hallmark of Integra Gold. You know, Integra Resources, PEA to PFS is certainly going to be that. There'll be more studies to do next year, which will show more growth based on what we're seeing on certain aspects of the project. So, you know, never expect that, you know, this is as good as it gets, because it's just going to keep getting better.
Well, George, just one last thing before we wrap up, and that is just on the share structure, it would be nice to know how much the management owns and other key stakeholders in the company, and you know, who's along for the ride on this, what's the institutional breakdown, the retail breakdown, if you could share that, please.
Yeah, sure. So on the last financing that we did, which looked, you know, pretty much like a rights issue, really, with a few new funds coming in, obviously, but, you know, most of our top 10 shareholders, you know, participated pro rata in the financing. So, you know, the institutional ownership of the company would be in the order of 70-odd%, I would say. And, you know, that's kind of gone up plus minus 5% over the past, you know, 3 years. But it's pretty static. The balance would be retail, and in and amongst sort of the mix of all of our shareholders, management would be at the sort of 5-5.5% level ownership wise. core mining, you know, the gold and silver producer focused on the U.S., they would be, I believe, at the 6% level. And, you know, that's essentially what the registry looks like currently. And it hasn't really changed much, which is really a great testament, I feel, again, not to, you know, trumpet too loudly our own horn, so to speak. But we haven't seen a lot of turnover in terms of shareholders, institutional shareholders specifically exiting. They are very clearly, they are clearly focused on the long game here. And we haven't lost much in the way of our, you know, original institutional shareholders along the way. So that's really good news, despite the downturn, obviously, in the market in the last 6 months.
Wrap us up real quick, George, then, with how much cash the company has in the bank, because it was just September 17th that you closed a $17 million oversubscribed financing. Where does the company stand now?
So we currently have about $26 million US in the treasury, so more than enough to take us well beyond the PFS study and into next year, and still maintain a really solid sort of aggressive effort on the drilling end. And that's something you'll never see us do, Corey, is stop exploring. I mean, there's obviously lots of room to push the resource envelope here, so that'll keep going. So we're in really good shape to going into next year with a really healthy treasury, a PFS study, drills turning throughout the winter, that sort of thing. We're happy to be in this position right now.
Okay. George, appreciate the update. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us, fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. We definitely will follow up on the back of that PFS and also on the back of any drill results when those are released. George, really appreciate the update and keep us up to date on future news.
Corey and Chad, thank you very much once again.